Welcome to So Ordered, where we create audio readings of SCOTUS decisions to make them more accessible to the public. At the time of creating this podcast, the Supreme Court of the United States does not release audio of the court's decisions. Our mission is to make it so the public can be better informed on decisions of the court by using AI to generate audio of written opinions. The case before us today is Ellingberg v. United States, docket number 24482, decided January 20th, 2026. Before reading the opinion itself, here is a brief summary of the case and the questions presented. The Mandatory Victims Restitution Act of 1996 requires defendants convicted of certain federal crimes to pay monetary restitution to their victims. Petitioner Ellingberg committed his crime before that act took effect, but he was sentenced under it later in 1996 and ordered to pay $7,567.25 in restitution, an obligation he has not yet satisfied. He challenged his continued restitution obligation under the ex post facto clause, and the United States Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit concluded that restitution under the MVRA is not criminal punishment subject to that clause. The question presented was whether criminal restitution under the Mandatory Victim Restitution Act, the MVRA, is penal for purposes of the ex post facto clause. The court held, restitution under the MVRA is plainly criminal punishment for purposes of the ex post facto clause. Whether a law violates that clause requires evaluating whether the law imposes a criminal or penal sanction as opposed to a civil remedy, a question of statutory construction that requires the court to consider the statute's text and its structure. Viewed as a whole, the MVRA makes abundantly clear that restitution is criminal punishment. The Act labels restitution a penalty for a criminal offense. Only a criminal defendant convicted of a qualifying crime may be ordered to pay it. It is imposed at sentencing together with other criminal punishments such as imprisonment and fines, and at that proceeding the government, not the victim, is the party adverse to the defendant. The regime is codified in Title 18, Crimes and Criminal Procedure, and a district court imposing restitution must follow the procedures applicable to other criminal penalties. Although Congress intended restitution under the Act both to punish offenders and to compensate victims, victims cannot initiate or settle the restitution process as they could in a civil proceeding. The judgment of the Eighth Circuit is reversed and the case remanded. Justice Kavanaugh delivered the opinion for a unanimous court. Justice Thomas filed a concurring opinion, in which Justice Gorsuch joined. As a reminder, the audio is an AI-generated reading of a published opinion of the Supreme Court of the United States. The voice you will hear has been synthesized to loosely resemble that of the justice that wrote the opinion. All tone, inflection, pacing, and emphasis are produced by the AI model and should not be attributed to any justice. The text itself has been lightly adapted to aid in the creation of the spoken delivery. This is a project to attempt to make court decisions more accessible to the public, and any substantive changes during the reading are completely unintentional. Please visit www.supremecourt.gov to read the opinion published by the court. You can find a link directly to the opinion in this episode's description. As the audio is AI-generated, you may hear some audio glitches, including odd pronunciation, noticeable pauses, or repeated words. We do our best to remove these and hope they do not impact your listening experience. To leave us feedback on the show or to learn more about the podcast, please visit so-ordered.org. The following is the opinion of the court in Ellingberg v. United States.
Under the Mandatory Victims Restitution Act of 1996, defendants convicted of certain federal crimes must pay monetary restitution to the victims. That act, known as the MVRA, became law on April 24, 1996. Petitioner Ellingberg was sentenced later in 1996 and ordered to pay restitution in the amount of $7,567.25. He has not yet satisfied that obligation. Ellingberg has now raised an ex post facto clause challenge to his continued restitution obligation because he committed his crime before the enactment of the MVRA. The ex post facto clause issue turns in part on the threshold question of whether restitution under the MVRA is criminal punishment. Applying circuit precedent, the United States Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit concluded that restitution under the MVRA is not criminal punishment. That decision was issued in 2024. We now reverse. In this court, Ellingberg and the United States agree that the Eighth Circuit erred and that MVRA restitution is criminal punishment. The court therefore appointed John F. Bash as amicus curiae to defend the judgment of the Eighth Circuit. That order was issued in 2025. He has ably discharged his responsibilities. When determining whether a law violates the ex post facto clause, the court must evaluate whether the law imposes a criminal or penal sanction as opposed to a civil remedy. Assessing whether a statutory scheme is civil or criminal is first of all a question of statutory construction that requires the court to consider the statute's text and its structure. Here, the statutory analysis is straightforward. Restitution under the MVRA is plainly criminal punishment for purposes of the ex post facto clause. Numerous features of the MVRA lead to that conclusion. The MVRA labels restitution as a penalty for a criminal offense. A court may order restitution only with respect to a criminal defendant and only after that defendant's conviction of a qualifying crime. Restitution is imposed during sentencing for the offense. At the sentencing proceeding where restitution is ordered, the government, not the victim, is the party adverse to the defendant. At sentencing, restitution is imposed together with other criminal punishments, such as imprisonment and fines. Indeed, for misdemeanors, restitution may be in lieu of those punishments, making restitution the sole punishment for a federal offense in certain circumstances. In addition, when a defendant does not make the required restitution payments, the court may modify the terms of his supervised release or probation and impose imprisonment if the court determines that alternatives to imprisonment are not adequate to serve the purposes of punishment and deterrence. As a further sign that MVRA restitution is criminal punishment, the federal MVRA restitution regime is codified in Title 18, Crimes and Criminal Procedure. The main statutory provisions authorizing restitution orders, Section 3663 and Section 3663A, are contained in Chapter 2032 of Title 18, entitled Miscellaneous Sentencing Provisions. Another statutory provision, Section 3556, states that a court shall order restitution in imposing a sentence for covered offenses. That provision is housed in Chapter 27 of Title 18, entitled Sentences. The statute also refers to a sentence that imposes an order of restitution. When imposing restitution, a district court must follow the procedures applicable to other criminal penalties, including the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure. And Section 3663C directs the United States Sentencing Commission to promulgate criminal sentencing guidelines for restitution. When viewed as a whole, then, the MVRA makes abundantly clear that restitution is criminal punishment. We are not saying that all of the statutory features present here are necessary to constitute criminal punishment, but they are sufficient. Given the statutory text and structure, it comes as no surprise that this court's precedents have understood restitution under the MVRA to be criminal punishment. In Manrique v. United States, the court stated that the MVRA requires courts to impose restitution as part of the sentence. That case was decided in 2017. In Pasquantino v. United States, the court explained that restitution under the MVRA is designed to mete out appropriate criminal punishment. That case was decided in 2005. And in Paroline v. United States, the court repeated that description. That case was decided in 2014. This court's precedents on related issues further buttress the conclusion that MVRA restitution is criminal punishment. For example, forfeiture under 18 United States Code Section 982A, like restitution under the MVRA, occurs at the culmination of a criminal proceeding and requires conviction of an underlying crime. That forfeiture, the court concluded, is criminal punishment. By contrast, the court determined that the forfeiture of firearms under 18 United States Code Section 924D, ordered during an in rem proceeding, is a civil sanction. As the government cautions, not everything that occurs at criminal sentencing or even that appears in a criminal judgment may necessarily be part of the punishment. But we need not explore that point further here because, for the reasons we have explained, MVRA restitution is criminal punishment. Amicus relies heavily on Smith v. Doe. There, this court considered a law requiring a defendant convicted of certain crimes to register as a sex offender. The court held that the registration mandate was civil. The legislature adopted distinctly civil procedures for the imposition of registration requirements. By contrast, to reiterate what we said above, MVRA restitution is labeled as a penalty, is codified in the criminal code, is predicated on a criminal conviction, is imposed against a criminal defendant, is sometimes imposed in lieu of other penalties, is ordered at sentencing where the United States is the adverse party, and can result in resentencing when the defendant refuses to pay. So Smith v. Doe does not control. It is true, as Amicus thoroughly explains, that the MVRA seeks to compensate crime victims, a non-punitive goal. Several provisions of the MVRA reflect that objective, such as a provision requiring that restitution amounts be based on a victim's loss. But those provisions show only that Congress intended restitution under the MVRA to both punish and compensate. And so long as the text and structure of the Act demonstrate that Congress intended at least to impose punishment, that ends the inquiry. To be sure, as Amicus points out, victims receive notice of sentencing proceedings and are consulted by prosecutors. But outreach to victims and some participation by victims in criminal proceedings are not unusual. With respect to restitution, the key point is that victims do not have the power to initiate or settle the restitution process as they would if it were a civil proceeding. Our ruling today does not mean that a restitution statute can never be civil, but the statutory text and structure of the MVRA demonstrate that restitution under that act is criminal punishment. For those reasons, we reverse the judgment of the United States Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit and remand the case for further proceedings consistent with this opinion. On remand, the Court of Appeals may consider the government's separate arguments for affirmance of the district court's judgment. It is so ordered.